fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rams fans, welcome in on this edition of Rams Showcase. The Rams drop week one, but there is reason to still be pumped. Plus, the injury bug for the Rams hitting the gym. We'll talk some updates, and later, the Rams hit their second road game of the year. We preview Rams at Cardinals. Let's rock.
This is Rams Showcase with your host, Sheriff Joe Bags.
Yes, welcome in Rams Showcase. I am Sheriff Joe Bags at Rams Showcase at Sheriff Joe Bags. That's where you follow on socials, ramshowcase.com. There is an incredible feature right now. I will actually make sure I get that put onto linked into the front page so that you don't have to kind of wiggle your way into trying to find it. Awesome piece written by Derek about Aaron Donald. Absolutely incredible, dude. Got to check it out, so I will post that. So ramshowcase.com, of course, where you are going to be headed. Also, this is completely un-Rams related at all, but I've got a small little bit of a platform here, so I wanted to share if you are a reader, you like to get down on some awesome books and stuff like that, dude. Well, one of my best friends of all time, dude. I've known this guy 20-plus years. I'm 33, so I've known him for quite a while. My buddy Eric wrote a book. It is called Monarch. It is a thriller. It's absolutely incredible. I'm just now getting into it. I don't read a whole lot of books. Most of the content I intake is sports-related. No, I got the book sitting right here. Plowing through that bad boy. Absolutely awesome. I'll share a link in the description below if you would like to check it out on Amazon. Absolutely incredible stuff. Like I said, it's a thriller and first of many to come from Mr. Eric Fox. Absolutely pumped about that, man. My homie doing some big stuff with writing. He's always wanted to do that. So I just wanted to pass that along to you. Some of you would be maybe interested in. Definitely check it out. Let's go ahead and get into the business here, though, as the LA Rams dropping to 0-1 after losing to the Detroit Lions Sunday Night Football in Week 1. And I just wanted to share some thoughts about this game, because I know, obviously, we know what happened. We know the game, so I don't want to dive too deep into this, I want to address this stuff. Oh, by the way, heads up. I fully intended on doing a live stream at some point this week, and then it just kind of fell apart, and I also don't know what the demand for that is. So if that's something you would like to see back, that live stream where we kind of have fans kind of pop in and have conversations that way, let me know, because right now I keep on talking about it, but I've had no interaction as far as like people being like, yes, let's get this rolling. And anytime I've brought it up to specific people, no one's seemed really interested in it. And that's totally fine if the market's not there for it. Hey, I will gladly just take a night to work on this show. And also, I mean, this show does put in, get some hours in on this show. So freeing up a little bit of time to put more effort into this part of it, obviously that will not hurt my feelings. So that's all good there. Pre-game live stream. Also, don't know if there's a market for that. So, hey, let me know. Something you want to see? Let's talk about it. But I feel like I should be more upset that the Rams lost in week one. And don't get me wrong, I hate losing. It sucks. It's less fun, for sure. But the fight in this team was something else, man. It was absolutely incredible. Matthew Stafford, he showed that he is that guy. If you refuse to admit that he is elite, you are simply choosing to ignore just blatant facts, dude. Straight up, you are ignoring what we're seeing out on the field. Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and that's just the way it is, dude. Look at the games. And if you disagree with that, or you're saying like, no, Goff is better, whatever, you're just not paying that much attention. There is some bias in it. Is there some bias in my comments? Maybe, but I also watch a lot of football, dude, and Matthew Stafford is next level, especially in a situation like that where we're borderline a borderline preseason team out there in the house of a team who was almost in the Super Bowl last year and pushed those guys to overtime, came back and pushed them to overtime. Hard to be that upset when that was the situation that we were in and played so well. Stafford put the team on his back. Absolute, like, just handled it, dude. That many people down. You lose that many guys. We're down to Arcuri, who just got cut in preseason. We have him at left tackle. You enter with both your starting tackles out. Steve Avila goes down. And then Noteboom goes down. It's just an absolute mess. We're losing people on defense. We're losing people on offense. Puka Nacua goes down. And still, Matthew Stafford put it together and was one of two quarterbacks in the NFL to throw for over 300 yards in week one. You're going to tell me he's not elite? You're ignoring facts here. And you can say what you want about that Lions secondary, but let's not pretend like they didn't play some good ball too. I just think the Rams came in and played better. I mean, that's the thing. I think Colin Cowherd kind of said it best of like that the Lions, from the Lions' perspective, they were outplayed and outcoached and still won the game. And from the Rams' perspective, they were absolutely beat to shreds and just ran out of bodies, dude. Just ran out of people at the end of the game. And we can say what we want about that last drive, that the Rams got bullied and stuff like that. That's kind of been my comment. The Rams got bullied on that last drive. But one bit of information on that last drive kind of sticks out to me. And I don't know if I'm looking too deep into this or if I'm trying to create something out of nothing. But when the Lions felt like they needed to move the football down the field, guess who didn't have the ball in their hands? Take your time on that one. Jared Goff, though, excuse me. Just blew my answer there. Matthew Stafford, though, pressured on 45% of his throws and still threw for over 300 yards, one of two in the NFL to do so. Also, the offensive line only allowed two sacks, just feels like more. The Rams also fifth in the league in sack percentage, and big old Colby Parkinson, highest pass blocking grade amongst all tight ends in the NFL out of week one. Definitely some calls we would want back, some situations that were a little too situational for me, as far as looking back at the pre-2-minute warning and how that was handled. Could have been different, and I know a lot of fans are talking about that drive specifically of like, well, that's where we blew it, or Kobe Durant's drop and stuff like that. First of all, Kobe Durant came back into that game, was questionable to return. We were down to three cornerbacks. Kobe Durant came back and still made that play. Absolutely love him for it. And then you have Sean McVay, who's going against a known aggressive attacking coach on the other sideline. It didn't work out. We didn't pick up those first downs and move the ball down the field, but I 1,000% support the decision to try to pass the ball on the upper half of the, or the upper side of the 2-minute warning. I absolutely agree with that because that's what I wanted them to do. It was like, you know what? Don't just run this down and let them get the ball back and all that stuff. Let's attack. Let's try to pick up the first down. It didn't work out. In hindsight, it's always 20/20, but in that situation, that's what I wanted them to do. And I would have been sitting here on the opposite side of that if the Rams just run the ball three times, the Detroit Lions get the ball back, and then go down and score. I would have been saying the same thing. Why weren't we more aggressive? So, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't work out, but I still kind of stand by that. I think it was absolutely awesome. It was also week one for a team who is seeing starters play together for the first time. But, you know, I think overall we played aggressive. We played hard. We played with a lot of heart. It's, again, just kind of hard to be that mad about it. You know what I mean? Just with the fight in this team, I think ultimately where my brain went with it, of like, if our team can be that beat up and play that well on the road in that setting against that team, this team healthy is going to be terrifying for the NFL. Good luck, NFL, if this Rams team pulls it together health-wise, honestly. That was insane what we saw on Sunday Night Football. I absolutely love it. But you know what? It happens. Losing is never what we want, but we got to look at this team for what it is. Dangerous as hell when healthy. Survive until bye feels like the vibe right now, right? Survive until bye. That's probably going to be something that I say a lot in these next few weeks. Survive until bye. As heading into, so our bye week's week six, but heading into week seven, we got two back-to-back home games with a mini bye before. So we got Thursday Night Football to come back from the bye week, and then we got that mini bye because it's a little bit of an extended time, and then we get head up to Seattle, so we get a mini bye before hitting the road again after the bye, and then because that is the following week back at home against Miami is a Monday night game. We get that extra day there as well. So survive until bye. That's not a bad thing necessarily, especially with the early bye, which is kind of turning out to be quite a blessing for this Rams team, considering the injuries that are happening to this team right now. So again, survive until bye. We do have some good games in this one. I mean, obviously Arizona Cardinals, will be previewing that game here soon. And then we come home against the San Francisco 49ers, and it's on the road against the Bears. Then it's home against the Packers, and then it's the bye week. And then, like I said, that's where we kind of get, we'll get that week off. We're already at home because we're playing the Packers. So you get that week off, you get to be at home. You play Thursday night football, so then you get that little mini bye. It's one home game, then the next one is a Thursday, so that's going to be a short week. But then you get that long week before heading up the coast to Seattle, and then Monday night football, so that gives you an extra day. By the time that Miami game is over, I would anticipate that that timing would lead to a situation where the Rams are a lot more healthy. And I think that after the bye week, the Rams will be a lot more healthy. We just kind of need to get there. If you can get two or three wins in this stretch in the first five, I think we're getting a good spot to really make a run when we can get healthy past the bye week. So that's kind of where I'm looking right now. It's kind of where my mindset's at. Maybe you are disagreeing, whatever. But I mean, this week we play Arizona, who's not a very good football team. We should be able to beat them, even though beat up. Bears is a very winnable game as long as you can get past their defense, which feels like something the Rams can do. Their offense still doesn't matter who's at quarterback. They're still the Bears offense. Green Bay Packers will probably be with Jordan Love in that game if I had to guess, but obviously the Packers are a little bit of a different team right now and a lot of question marks surrounding them. They are very good, but definitely question marks surrounding them. So Rams can pull off two or three of these games before leading into the bye week. Then I actually feel pretty good about it. If the Rams only beat the Cardinals, then maybe it's like, oh, crud. But at the same time, man, I mean, injuries happen. It's a very aggressive sport. It's pretty intense. And I think overall, man, I mean, it happens. We don't root for it, and it sucks, especially when you're in a situation like the Rams are in right now. That's for sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, somebody's got to play. And I think that's ultimately my mindset with the injuries. It was like, do I want our starters to play? Yeah, obviously. But sometimes they can't, so somebody else has got to come play. They don't postpone the games because your dudes are hurt. So I mean, you just got to put a football team out there, no matter who that happens to be. That's where depth obviously comes big into play, which the Rams do have good depth. Take a look at some transactions, as the Rams did sign Ty Nsekhe to the practice squad. Fully anticipate that he will be elevated, and honestly, probably could start a left tackle this week. How sick would that be? You just like, he comes in and just brick walls the Arizona Cardinals in his first game back. Dude, that'd be so sick. And then Puka Nacua officially placed on IR along with Joe Noteboom and Steve Avila as well. So just a lot of mix-ups there. As far as Puka goes and Steve and Joe, I would fully anticipate, just don't even expect them back until, you know, bye week time. But don't even think about it till bye week, all right? And if I think ultimately the math actually works out where they can't play until after the bye week, but either way, just don't even think about those guys. It'll be fine. They'll come back. Puka's injury is, depending on the grade, is like a max 4 to 5 week kind of deal, so he should be okay. I think we just kind of rushed him back a little too quick. He probably could have sat in that Detroit game and probably, unfortunately, looking back, we could have probably had him healthy going into maybe next week or the week after that if we kind of just would have been a little bit more careful with him. But hey, Puka doing Puka things, man. And obviously, you gotta just, if they're athletes, dude, go let them play. And if they want to play, I'm sure that's probably part of it, was like, you feel good enough to play? And Puka's like, yeah, whether or not that was real, you know what I mean? So let's see here. Also, I don't know what to expect on the offensive line this week. We don't really have that answer right now. It's very possible that we hear something from Sean McVay here soon about what that lineup is going to look like, but right now I honestly have no idea. With AJ Jackson still being down for one more week, with Avila down, Noteboom down, K-Dot didn't practice on Wednesday, but is expected to play this weekend. But there's a lot of moving pieces to this this offensive line right now. What I will say is Bo Limmer actually looked pretty good at center, so I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I think that that's actually a really interesting little tag that could be happening. I want to know what's up with KT Leviston. I don't know. Did we get news? I'd have to look at that, but... it could be, I mean, I don't expect him to start, but I do think he could be a bit of a rotational guy. The Rams also did bring in Dylan McMahon. He was a sixth-round pick for the Philadelphia Eagles this year and then was cut. And then Jerron Christian as well. He's been bounced around for a little while. He's been on multiple football teams, but definitely good experience to have. I don't know if I would expect him to start, but possibly a backup role coming in, joining the Rams roster here. Those two additions, by the way, active roster additions, as Akello Witherspoon, a name we are all familiar with, big fans of Akello on this show, that's for sure. Akello's absolutely awesome. Did get signed to the practice squad. Fully anticipate that he will be elevated, and really not sure in what capacity we will see Akello this year. I'm not sure if we're waiting to get some guys back from injured reserve, such as, you know, a D-Will, even a Tomlinson. I'm not sure if I would say that Akello would get dropped for Tomlinson coming in or anything like that, but definitely something to keep our eyes on. But fully anticipate that we'll see Akello at least in the next few games. So in Arizona, home against the Niners, in Chicago, and possibly even home against Green Bay, we should be seeing Akello back on the field for the Rams. As far as number goes, I don't have that information yet, and his last number is taken. It's being worn by Brennan Jackson at this time. Around the league and some potential Rams impact moves here. DK Metcalf did convert $11.8 million of his 2024 salary into a signing bonus and did add, three voidable years. I think it was three. Is it either three or four voidable years? I want to say three. And that begins 2026. And so he could be only seeing a couple more years out in Seattle. We'll see how that unfolds. But my reasoning here on how this could impact the Rams is simply because that is a division opponent. And they did defeat the Denver Broncos. So maybe they are looking at maybe adding to their roster, maybe trying to make a push, especially when you see a team like the Rams lose. Obviously, the Arizona Cardinals lost. And you got the Niners and Seahawks sitting at 1-0 right now. So it's possible that they're going to try to attack. Christian McCaffrey, unlikely to play this weekend at running back for the San Francisco 49ers. Their coach did say he is not an IR candidate. But the 49ers are prepared to be pretty cautious with the return of Christian McCaffrey. It's an Achilles injury that he is dealing with. Rams do play the 49ers next week in their home opener at SoFi Stadium. So kind of just unclear right now whether or not we will see Christian McCaffrey in that game. In fairness, though, their backup, already blanking on his name, have no idea, heard it twice, and that's all. I was watching the game on mute and listening to music, the Monday night game. But... kid looked pretty good, man. So overall, the Rams will have a run game to defend, no matter if it's Christian McCaffrey or that backup running back. We have fan quesos that'll be headed your way later on. But after this quick break, we will get into the game preview. Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. That's all right here on Ram Showcase. And welcome back in Ram Showcase. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. Let's get in to this game preview. The Los Angeles Rams 0-1 taking on the Arizona Cardinals, also 0-1 at State Farm Stadium, 1:05 p.m. kickoff time, 05. All right, be careful about that. I hate the 05 kickoff times because all the early games are still going. All right, and then we got to try to convince a bartender to switch a random TV. All right, hate the 05s, but it's going to be okay. This game is televised on Fox. Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez on the call, and Christina Pink actually didn't look it up ahead of time, but I will put it up the distribution map for you. So I'm not sure what color it is because I didn't remember. So that's pretty cool. We had prime time obviously last week, so still getting back into the groove, dude. So yeah, get that. You'll see it on there. I'll label it which one the Rams game is being shown in. Heat warnings during the week, all week in Arizona. When I looked at the weather last night, it was nighttime and it was like 107. And I was like, yo, what, dude? Not cool. But either way, it should be cooled down. I don't even know if that's the proper... I'm in Colorado, dude, so I don't know how that... It doesn't compute in my brain. It's going to be in the upper 90s on Sunday. in Arizona. Luckily, the Rams will be rocking the bone uniforms. And that's pretty exciting, obviously, because, well, we need to be in light colors in that heat. So it's going to be pretty miserable. I expect the Arizona Cardinals to be in all red. And as far as pants picks goes, we all went 1-0 last week, all picking the Soul pants, which I felt like was a toss-up or a layup, I should say. But this week, we got a little bit of a mix-up pick, one royal pick. But myself and Rams House going with the bone pants. Payo time, though, coming in with royal. I just feel like, based on what we've seen the last few years, that the Rams, when wearing bone, like to wear bone pants. I hate it. I think the Soul is the best. Royal looks real sick, too, though. But I expect bone on bone for this game. You betters, Rams underdogs in Arizona. What the heck, dude? Plus 1.5 for the Rams, plus 102 on the money line. Under 50 for this one, 49.5. So that could be an interesting thing to keep our eyes on. This is the Arizona Cardinals home opener. So look for that crowd to be a crowd. I don't know how their crowd is, actually. I got some buddies going out to that game, which should be rather exciting. So at least a little bit of the good guys in that sea of red. Injuries for you. We kind of talked about the Rams injuries. We know the guys, the list of guys who just got put on IR. We also know that Kevin Dotson did not practice on Wednesday. Christian Roseboom was limited. There was somebody else who was limited. So we'll keep our eyes on the injury report this week. Also, though, heads up on the other side of the injury report. Kyler Murray did pop up onto the Cardinals injury report, but he was listed as a full participant. Expect him to play. Some kind of things that we're just kind of keeping our eyes on in this game. Arizona did look pretty good early against Buffalo, but then, you know, blew it as they do. But they still did really have a strong start. I'm not sure what happened with Buffalo there, but they looked like a mess for a minute, but then pulled it together. Arizona doing Arizona things, letting team come back on them. This is a division opponent. Of course, the Rams have owned since the arrival of McVay, and simply that has to continue here. The Rams can't go 0-2, all right? They can't. They can't go 0-2 before their home opener. That's just a rough spot to be in. But also with the way the Rams injuries are right now, everybody's a threat. They're all threats, dude. We're playing against NFL teams, and the Rams are pretty beat up. So every single game we go against right now in this little stretch pre-bye week is going to be pretty rough. But losing obviously makes you go 0-2, 0-1 in the division. With your home opener being the Niners staring you right in the face, you just can't lose this game. Potentially be dropping to 0-3, going into a Tom Brady call game in Chicago, and then, of course, getting back home against a Green Bay team who might be getting Jordan Love back that week. Could be earlier than that, could be later than that, but could be getting Jordan Love back for the game against the Rams. Then you go into the bye week. I mean, you could be sitting 0-5 going into the bye week, and obviously that can't happen in any real sense of being like a playoff team. You got to really turn things around if you're going to come back from 0-5. That's a really, really tough stretch. So losing to Arizona would be a slippery slope on the season, and the team would really have to begin to rally, which it sounds crazy saying that in week two, but with these injuries, you still just got to do it, man. You got to pull it out. They're all football players. They're all NFL players. You made it here for a reason. You are a good football player. Do good football things, dude. And, you know, kick the crap out of the guy opposite of you. Take a look at the matchup in this game. Rams offense versus the Cardinals defense. Rams, obviously, these averages are just from last week. So these kind of will shape up as we continue on. But the Rams offense, 8th in the NFL right now, going against 21st ranked defense, 2nd in passing. Matthew Stafford ripping it up last week against that Detroit defense, going against the 24th ranked pass defense. Running the ball, Rams a little bit lower on that, 25th in the league, putting up only 83. The Cardinals gave up 130 last week, that is 19th. Points being scored, the Rams put up 20, that's tied for 17th, and the Cardinals gave up 34, that is tied for 29th worst in the league. And third down, the Rams 41.7%, that's 13th, and Cardinals giving up a third, which is tied for 14th. Obviously, we are looking close at that offensive line. That is the big concern going into this one. We're not quite sure yet which five we'll see, but hopefully we will see Rob back to get some reinforcements this week, and then AJ Jackson back next week from his suspension. So we do have reinforcements on the way. Help is coming, dude. Help is on the way, dear. Like Mrs. Doubtfire once said. And we just got to survive until the bye. Survive until bye, man. I'm telling you, survive until bye. And then we should at least be mostly back. You get some guys back from IR, suspension, all that stuff. We should be good to go after that. Puka going down means we should see more Tutu this week. I was surprised that we didn't last week. I did anticipate that he would be heavily utilized, and that was not the case. Tyler Johnson, though, set to be an important part of this offense for the stretch, and Whittington could also be making some noise. We are still kind of forgetting that we don't have our top tight end as well. That's a conversation that most people are not, or a topic that most people are not adding into the conversation of the Rams' injuries right now, is we entered the year without our top tight end. I like our tight ends. We have a deep group, and Parkinson looked solid. Had a couple of plays where it's like, hey, where are you going on that? But overall, I think he played really well. So especially in his first game being with this team, I don't hate that at all. So just a lot of injuries. And that one, I think, is being forgotten about. The best matchup in this game, I've got Kyren Williams versus the run defense of the Arizona Cardinals. Kazir White, Mac Wilson, solid players, man, solid players. Ram should be able to do some damage here on the ground, but with the offensive line being a big question mark, that is obviously a tough one. The Rams passing game by the numbers actually did really well last week, and the offensive line injuries probably what made Sean a little more hesitant to hit the ground game, because we were pretty pass happy. But Kyren, being one of those guys who can bounce and break off at any moment, we just got to stick to it because it'll happen. 3-C on the Rams offensive side of the ball. We'll start with Tyler Johnson. He was part of the Rams revealed. Was that this week or last week? It was a very recent one. Absolutely awesome. Tyler Johnson, man, it's hard not to like this guy and hard not to root for him. He's in a very loaded position group, but really hard not to root for him. Likely going to get his fair share of reps with 17 sidelined. But definitely has the talent to pull it off, man. An underrated fantasy pickup if you are a fantasy player, especially in a deep league, but could contribute a lot more in a real football sense, more on like third and short and that kind of setting, because we saw what he can do with a short ball. He can break that out. Ty Ensekhe is going to be my next one here, and we don't even have confirmation that he's going to play. I just anticipate him to. This is such a Rams move, though, bringing in Ty Ensekhe. Watch him come in at left tackle and just absolutely, dude, just not let anybody by, dude. Just being an absolute, like, rude bouncer kind of style. You know what I mean? We could see it, man. Ty Ensekhe back in L.A. Cooper Kupp is my last one here on the 3-C on the offensive side of the ball. This is what I've been trying to tell you, okay? This entire time, this entire offseason, I've been trying to tell you this. I definitely feel like this was going to be a good Puka year. Definitely just got dented, of course, with the trip to IR. But I am extremely high on Cooper Kupp entering this year. And I think what we saw in week one is just what this guy is about still. Not again. He's not about this again. He's about this still. Kupp was always this guy. All right. He never went away. He was just a little bit beat up. All right. This game is very violent. Cooper Kupp runs very violent. Defenders are very violent. And when violence meets violence with that much power behind it, sometimes the human body just can't deal. Even though said human body is absolutely magnificent, an absolute monster of a human being in Cooper Kupp, I mean, it's just not, there are limits. There are limits, my guy, all right? You can blow an engine on a Ferrari, all right? Things happen. Just because something's awesome, something because it's great and impeccable, doesn't mean it's invincible, all right? So Cooper Kupp healthy right now, and I think we saw that week one, and I am pumped for Kupp on this season, man. I've been pounding that table though for quite a while. If you're not a newbie here, then you know that. If you are a newbie here, dude, what's up? Welcome in, man. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. Slip over to the other side. The Cardinals offense against the Rams defense. Again, these averages coming from just one game, so keep that in mind. Total offense 22nd in the league for the Cardinals, tied for 23rd for the Rams defense. Passing the ball, The Cardinals, 22nd there. Rams defense, 20th, giving up 200 to the Detroit Lions last week. Running the ball, the Cardinals, this is kind of where they make their money a little bit, but still sitting right in the middle of the road. And the Rams gave up 163, which is tied for 25th. Points being scored, 28 put up by Arizona, which is tied for 9th, top 10 scoring unit. And the Rams defense gave up 26, which is tied for 19th. I will say, though, a lot of these defensive numbers definitely, like especially the running one and the points one, obviously were hurt. And even third down, look at that, like 46.2 given up. That was also hurt on that last overtime drive. The Cardinals offense, though, over 50% third down. That is actually pretty solid there. But in just one game, some notes on this matchup. I liked what I saw last week. I'll be honest. I like a lot of our safeties, but John Johnson, though, he should be really close to and just probably sitting at 100% snap rate. I think we should just go ahead and use him. All right. He's been absolutely, he killed it last week. He was on fire, man. We saw some like vintage JJ last week, and that was really good to see. The inside linebackers, effort level, so sick. All right. Reeder and Roseboom flying around. They both have definitely improved their tackling. I think that was pretty evident in the first week that both of those guys improved their tackling. Roseboom flying around, I was absolutely stoked to see that. Reeder had one where he got kind of like blown back on an early third down, and I was like, Reeder, you know, but and then he actually had some really good hits in there, a few really good plays, and it kind of like, it was like, oh yeah, okay, new season, new Reeder, dude, let's do this. Like, he's the guy, so you know what, let's have him, all right? But I also think that those guys were flying around because they had something to prove, not to themselves, not to the opponent, but to the coaches who had traded away the captain of this position just like a little over a week ago, man. And also to the fans who absolutely hated the trade and were like, what are we doing? We can't have these guys play. Ernest Jones is our guy, kind of thing. And so I think that those guys came in with something to prove to their own, to Rams fans, and to their coaching staff. I think that those players came in with something to prove there. I'm already digging Shula, by the way. And I would say it was really nice to see when, you know, it was third and short that we were just up on our receivers. Not necessarily pressing, just a little bit closer. We just need to be a little bit closer. Instead of that third and two and we're 10 yards off, this time we were third and three and 2 yards off. And I was like, yo, it's like, they can hear me. I think at least Shula, digging Shula. At the very least, I like that he's a little bit more aggressive. And I think that honestly, he had a great game plan, especially considering, the young team that he is coaching on the defensive side of the ball. He's got no captains returning from last year, and he's a first year defensive coordinator. I think he did an awesome job handling an offense that was extremely explosive last week. And I know that the Rams, we're looking at 23rd in the NFL in total defense here, but I think that the game plan was awesome. And we get some more health here and some more experience out of our young guys. Like, Verse looks awesome. Fisk looked awesome. But those guys are, that was their first NFL game. So, like, we'll probably get them a little bit more involved and a little bit more intense as the season goes on. Also, the secondary has a lot of talent, but we knew with a new defensive coordinator and almost all new guys that we weren't going to be in our best early in the season. This group will get better and better every week, maybe have some off days in there, I'm assuming. But the week 18 secondary is going to be dramatically different and better than the week 1 secondary that we saw. This is not what we're going to see. We're not going to see this exact same team as the season goes on. We will get better. This team's just very young, all right, and beat up. So we'll get not only healthier, but more experienced, and by the time the playoffs are kind of in a conversation, we should be looking pretty good, all right? If we're going to have to deal with this kind of stuff, I'd rather do it in week 1 and not in like week 17, where it's like, we don't have any dudes. Nobody's left, man. How are we going to go to the playoffs? Let's do this now, spend the season getting healthy, pick up some dubs as we can, you know, like, and then when we get healthy, really hit it hard at the end of the season. I fully kind of anticipate that this season will kind of feel a little bit like last year. I'm saying that. Best matchup on the Rams defense versus that Cardinals offense, I'm going Marvin Harrison Jr. Because he's already looked, he's already looking like he's got some pressure on him coming into the Arizona Cardinals home opener after a pretty underwhelming showing in week 1. And I don't know if the line was true or not that Kyler Murray said, where he's like, that's not my job to get him the ball. It's like, I'm running the offense, which is kind of translated into he wasn't getting open. How am I supposed to get him the ball? He's not doing his part. It's kind of how I translated that. Not sure if that's what he meant, but either way, rather dicey situation. Harrison's NFL career has started real rocky, dude. But Harrison versus Rams secondary will be interesting to watch for sure. Really no decent tape on him yet. Obviously, he had like 4 yards in week one. But Trey White on Harrison feels like a major advantage for the Rams. And I don't know if the Cardinals have any other weapons that I'm like, oh, I don't know about that guy, though. That might be a scary one. So I think it's Harrison. But also, is it, though? Is he scary? I don't think so, right? At least he's not right now. 3-C on the defensive side for the ball. Jared Verse. Sir, you are mean. Jared Verse is a mean, mean man, and I absolutely love it, dude. Seeing Verse lay a shoulder into some dudes was absolutely awesome. He plays fast, he plays aggressive, and he looks like he already fits into the NFL. You absolutely love to see it, dude. Verse will be fun to watch all season long, but going into week two, he's already showing that he's a strong part of this group. First time he gets a taste of divisional NFL action on the road. Should be a fun one, man, going against Kyler Murray. Jared Verse, dude, yeah, you could, yeah, you get it. Me and Jared are right here. Anybody else, I don't know. Kobe Durant up next. Got a little bit banged up, but did come back. Almost had that pick that would have been very helpful for the Rams in pushing for a dub. Durant, he will be in the spotlight again, but is already that kind of veteran level of the defense. Obviously, we add in Akello Witherspoon, which is a big move, but I'd still expect to see a lot of Kobe in this one. He's got that attitude, though, to keep it loose, you know, keep it fun, hype up the young guys. Durant's kind of got incredible energy about him. I think we all kind of know that. And this would be a really cool time to have a sick Landshark game. Like, getting some defensive tuds here is kind of what I'm feeling a little bit. And my last on 3-C is going to be John Johnson. It's not that I feel like Lake had a bad game, but I feel like he left me wanting a little bit more, if that makes sense. So Johnson, on the other hand, he had a killer day. Looked like some vintage JJ on some of those plays. We absolutely love to see it. And JJ, man, doing some big things out here. So absolutely love it. Those are your 3-C on the defensive side of the ball. Connections in this one. Former Rams who are currently on the Cardinals, Jonathan Gannon, the Cardinals head coach. He was a Rams scout from 09 to 11, which, I mean, if we're keeping track here, weren't that good of years. And then Brandon Schwab as well. He was a scout from 2012 for the Rams. Former Cardinals who are currently on the Rams, well, just one, Greg Williams. No, not that one. Some NFL connections here. There's no real intense NFL connections in this one. I felt like I was like missing them, and it was like, what, am I forgetting something here? But no, there's just actually not really any good connections here. I got a few though. Darius Williams did play in Baltimore with wide receiver Chris Jones. D. Will also played in Jacksonville with wide receiver Zay Jones. And Zay Jones played in Buffalo with Trey White. So 3 degrees of Zay Jones or whatever. College connections. Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. First time we were mentioning their names in the connection realm. Played at Florida State with Cardinals rookie running back Trey Benson. They all came in together. Probably expect like one of those, pictures or whatever at the end. Tutu Atwell played at Louisville with Keytrell Clark. I believe I'm saying that right. I do apologize if I'm not. Neville Gallimore, newly added to the Rams roster here, played at OU with Kyler Murray. And Charles Woods, rookie corner for the Rams, he played at West Virginia with Dante Stills of the Arizona Cardinals. Milestones in this one. So we're going to pair in this year. The milestones reached with the milestones we're still looking for. Milestones at Sam Bradford, or I keep on blowing my coverage here a little bit. Matthew Stafford passed Sam Bradford for 8th most passing yards in franchise history. So that's pretty cool. So number 9 passed number 8 to become number 8 and push number 8 to number 9. You following along with that? He also passed Brett Favre and tied Dan Marino for 8th most 300-yard passing games. Stafford sitting at 63 8th most in NFL history. Matthew Stafford, you are an animal. Puka Nacua became the fastest player in NFL history to hit 1,500 receiving yards, and that is just in 18 games. Puka, obviously an absolute monster, and it's unfair for the rest of the NFL. In fact, maybe there's something football gods are saying of like, hey, you guys can't have a healthy Cooper Kupp and a Puka Nacua. That's just not fair. I think I'm going to stick with that. It makes me feel better about it. And Cooper Kupp passed Matt Gay on the Rams' all-time scoring list, moving to 16th. And he does need 13 receptions, which we now definitely know that he can get in one game, to pass Henry Ellard for third most in franchise history. And he needs two touchdowns, to pass Elroy Hirsch. Dude, actually, though, Hellroy? Crazy Legs is such an old school nickname, dude. Hellroy Hirsch? That's so sick, dude. Anyway, passing needs two touchdowns to pass Elroy Hirsch for third most touchdowns scored by a wide receiver in franchise history. That is your Los Angeles Rams at Arizona Cardinals game preview. Again, this game kicking off at 1:05 p.m. Pacific time. That game on Fox with Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez. Should be a fun one, first divisional game of the year, and definitely just something the Rams need to be able to wrangle in, all right? But I will say, if the Rams can put that kind of fight against the Detroit Lions, as beat up as they were, you kind of have a week to get in some other guys. You bring in an Ensekki and a Kello and stuff like that. I actually feel pretty decent about this game. Don't expect it to necessarily be high-flying, but I don't expect any of these games to be necessarily high-flying as we lead into the bye week. After that, I think we kind of crank it up a little bit. But until then, survive until bye. Fan Quesos, that's next on Ram Showcase. Ram Showcase, Sheriff Joe Bags, we got your Fan Quesos. This segment is open to sponsorship. Ramshowcase at gmail.com. If you want to reach out and have a conversation. If you're looking to write about the LA Rams, well, I've got good news. I got a website. You can do it because I don't necessarily love to. I will. I'll probably just need to find my love again. But if, hey, you've got that love already, hit me up. Let's figure out what we can do here. All right. So, yeah, good stuff. Let's go ahead and hop into our Fan Quesos here. First few here coming from Edwin, emphasis on the win. And let's go ahead and get into it. Edwin says, I'm not a moral victory guy. Dude, I mean, preaching to the choir, dude. I mean, there's no crying in baseball, man. There's no, like, let's just get through your question. All right. I was going to go off on a huge tangent there. I'm not a moral victory guy at all, but man, I'm so proud of the way our team fought. Kind of a way of what I was going to say. Fix that. All right. There we go. That's almost. Nope. We got nailed it. All right. Okay. Even after all the injuries, our guys fought hard. First of all, absolutely agree, dude. 1,000% agree. I think that we kind of, though, had that moment where it was like, hey, we're probably going to lose this game, so might as well go out swinging, dude, and then just went for it, which is absolutely awesome. Second half Rams team was on fire, and second half Sean McVay, I mean, it's kind of a thing, so I'll take it. Question one from Edwin. What non-starter impressed you the most week one? I think I got to go with John Johnson, right? He's a non-starter. Am I wrong? I mean, I think that he played awesome, man. I think he played great football. And he was one of the highest graded defenders in the league in week one. If you're a PFF person, I don't love PFF mainly because I don't understand it. Like I just need to know that the numbers that they're telling me are like based on something real, you know, and I'm sure they are, but I don't know that. So it's probably a trade secret or something. But I think that John Johnson, I think we consider him a non-starter. I don't think he's a starter officially. So yeah, I'll definitely go with him. Number two, how are you feeling about our defense? I've seen people say our defense is no good, but if you think about it, we held the Lions' high-flying offense to 20 points up until overtime, and we shut down St. Brown. You're absolutely right. I think that what the Lions wanted to do, we didn't let them do. And I think that's all Shula. That's absolutely awesome. Love to see that, dude. So I think our defense played great. I mean, all things considered, super, super young unit with a brand new defensive coordinator. We don't need to be at the level where we're at our best right now. We've got 17, you know, more weeks to go where we can continue to build up on that. So we didn't need to be Super Bowl ready going into week one. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that. So you go into week one, you try to get the win, and if it doesn't work, you kind of just shift some things. And also, this team is just young. This defense especially, extremely young. We just need these guys to get some reps together and get some continuity together. And I think that that'll kind of, by the time we get to like week 11, 12, 13, 14, I think this defense is going to be much, much better. And everybody who was like, this defense is no good, they're probably going to be like, I didn't say that. So, I mean, I'm not a screenshot guy. I don't care. I don't need your receipts or whatever. I don't care. You thought one thing. People are allowed to change their minds. So I also think that. So I change my mind all the time, dude. I put a whole video out, said that Rams wide receiver Tutu Atwell is a bust. And now I've got his signed headshot right here in his jersey in my closet. Things change. All right. Anyway, next question. Number three. The Rams have always had a great game against the Cardinals. Who do you think will go off against them this week? I think Parkinson will be a huge factor this coming week. I was literally going to say Parkinson. He had a few of those moments where that I kind of expected to see out of him week one, but wasn't as involved. But now you drop a Puka Nacua and we go in with a full week of being able to prep without Puka Nacua and knowing that Parkinson's going to be a target. I think that will be, I think that he'll be pretty good. As far as like the, I keep getting questions, by the way, in my fantasy league. I keep getting people being like, who's going to be the one, dude? Who's going to be the one? Who replaces Puka? Is it going to be Robinson? Is it going to be Johnson? Is it going to be Atwell? It's like, dude, I wish I had an answer, man. I have no idea. It could be anybody, dude. It could be Whittington. They could just be like, you know what, man? You're up. this team is always very hard to predict. But I would say Parkinson, man. I think that he definitely flashed some good stuff last week. And no reason to think that he can't continue to build on it. Number four from Edwin here. How do you feel about the players we've added to our offensive line this week? I mean, I don't hate it, but let's call it what it is. They're here temporarily. We've got our guys. We came into the year with the five that we want. By week six, seven, we should have those five all good to go. So barring any like other injuries or anything like that, by like week six, seven, we should have those guys back. So I like it because we get some good depth. I like the guys that we signed as far as what they can bring, and then Seki and stuff like that. But overall, minimal impact because they probably won't be here midseason. Next string here coming from Cody. What player surprised you the most? All right, so was it Edwin said defensive player? What non-starter impressed you the most? Okay, so what player impressed me the most? Matthew Stafford, he did one of those things where it's like it was week one going into a year where he's like the old guy now. But I think that he showed that he's one of the best in the league. And I think he showed that he's probably the best NFC quarterback. I mean, I don't think that that's that much of a stretch. And I got the question not long ago of like rank the top five NFC quarterbacks. And it was hard. Because you're digging into, like, I don't think Dak's necessarily a bad quarterback, but I think he's just a good quarterback. Then you got, like, Cousins and stuff. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know who I really add into that group. I think by default, you kind of have to put in a Purdy right now just because, you know, he went to the Super Bowl and stuff like that. Do I think he's actually physically talented as a top five NFC quarterback? No, I do not. I think he's on a loaded team with an incredibly comfortable offense. I think a lot of dudes could do that. Jimmy did it. You know, I'm just saying. All right. But Matthew Stafford definitely surprised me the most. Not that I didn't think that he was capable of that, but he basically almost won that game single-handedly. And you could see that when the Lions won the toss in overtime, he was like, it was like he knew that he wasn't going to get a chance. And that sucks. And we can talk about the overtime rule and all that stuff and how much of a bummer that is. But ultimately, dude, it is what it is. And we knew the rule going in. Stop him. Don't let him get a touchdown. And that's how you get the ball back. And we didn't do it. So Matthew Stafford, my answer there. Next one here from Cody. How bummed were you when Whittington got his first touchdown called back? Yeah, that definitely sucks, but he's going to get plenty. And I don't think that by the time his career ends, he's going to be like, but that one in week one didn't work out. So, like, I mean, yeah, it sucks. It was his first NFL game to score a touchdown. That would have been really cool. He's going to get plenty of opportunities. Next one here from Cody. Puka being on the IR. What's the normal expectations on a PCL injury return timetable for a strain? It depends on the grade. So there's one grade that is like a 1 to 2 week. I'm anticipating that it's not that. We probably wouldn't have IR'd him for that. But there's a grade two that is like a, I think it's like a 2 to 5-ish kind of, I hate that I'm remembering this stuff right now. Of like just in my time of watching football, I'm like, oh yeah, that kind of injury, that's a good 2 to 5 weeks. Like, there's no reason for me to know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not Dr. Joe Bags over here. And yeah, but either way, it's about bye week time. Week six, he should be feeling pretty good. I think that ultimately we just need to make sure that he's absolutely good because we did get confirmation this was a re-aggravation. So we need to make sure that he's just 100% before we get him back in so we can keep him for the stretch. Next one from Cody. Were you surprised Tutu got 6 snaps and is probably going to be the norm this year? Based on what? I have a follow-up question for you. Question to your question. Based on what do you say that it's probably going to be the norm this year? It says, do you expect to keep sliding down the depth chart as the year goes on? No. I think that he's got a plan. I think that the Rams do have a plan for him. It could be that that plan is to trade him. That's possible. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I do want to know what makes you say that that's probably going to be the norm this year. Cause I actually disagree. I think that we are waiting for matchups to get him in. I think that if I had to take a guess, and I know I literally already said that, like, I'm surprised he didn't get used more. I think it's a game plan thing. And I think it's a defense thing. I think that that Sean McVay probably has like some defenses or some schemes that he likes Tutu against. And I think that's where we see him. As far as sliding down the depth chart as the year goes on, no, not necessarily. I think we would have kind of gotten more hints on that in preseason if he wasn't playing and stuff like that. Next one here from Cody. What are your thoughts on Witherspoon signing? Just depth and familiarity? Absolutely right, man. We've had the opportunity to bring back Akella Witherspoon on multiple occasions, and ultimately I do think that this is a lower impact move than a lot of Rams fans are giving it credit for. I really like Akella, and he had a great year last year, especially the start of the season, man. He came in shutting dudes down, which was absolutely awesome. But let's just call it what it is, man. There was a reason that he came back now on the practice squad heading into week two and wasn't here this entire time. I don't know what that reason is. I'm just saying there is a reason, all right? And then when you have like D Will get hurt and stuff like that, then we still weren't signing him. But then we kind of go through this situation and then we sign him. There was a reason for that. So I think before we go out buying new Akello jerseys, we need to pump those brakes a little bit, see what kind of impact he'll have and how long he sticks around. It's possible he's here all year and just becomes like opposite of Trey White. And that's just a thing. That is absolutely a realistic possibility. But again, there's got to be a reason that the Rams were hesitant to bring him back and only did it now. And this one here comes from Nick. Yo, Nick, what up, man? Is this 2022 all over again, injury-wise? Simple question, and I'm going to give you a simple answer. I hope not. I mean, it's obviously too early to tell. We are pretty beat up right meow, but ultimately, It's too hard to say that. It could just be one of those things where it's like, dang, do you remember how crazy it was when, like, coming into the year, how beat up we were? That was terrible, right? Good thing that's not happening anymore. Like, that's obviously an option. So let's see here. Let's head over to the YouTube channel. Got a few questions here. Oh, man. I thought I had so many quesos here. It actually was just other people answering quesos. What the heck, dudes? What the heck, GP Shadow? We'll start with GP Shadow. Which position group surprised you positively or negatively? And which group concerns you after week one? No group concerns me after week one. That question's too early. I don't have concerns after week one. It's always like a bit of a toss-up. We also played a damn good football team. So let's also come into this week against a bummer of a football team and average it out. And then maybe I'll have a better answer for you. That's a question for like post-buy of like which groups I'm like concerned about. But also, concern does nothing. I can sit here and be concerned about a group, and that's not going to make them play better or worse. But I realize that's a terrible answer. Nobody likes that answer. But which position group surprised me the most positively? I'll be honest, the offensive line. I think giving up 2 sacks, being 5th in the league in sack percentage right now, and I know a lot of that had to do with play calling and Matthew Stafford just being absolutely elite, but I think that given the circumstances, I think that they played okay. Arcuri was getting smoked, bro. Smoked. But there was a couple of those plays when he needed to just give Matthew Stafford one more second against Hutch, and he did. Do we need to see Arcuri blocking a superstar like that again? Probably not. All right. Hopefully not. But ultimately, I think that he played as good as I expected him to play. And I hope that that doesn't come off as a shot to Arcuri. But I think that given the circumstances for a guy who we just cut in going against Hutch week one, you're like, I'll take it, dude. I'll take it. Concerned though, like I said, I'm not really concerned about any group. We got some injuries that we got to worry about, but worry also doesn't help anybody, doesn't impact anybody positively. So there's no reason to worry. We just got to hope the new dudes do well. That's it. Let's see here. I'll do this one first, Payam. You are trapped on a plane. Sick. I'm not afraid of flying. In fact, as a person who did suffer from like extreme anxiety, I'm pretty good now, but like all my 20s I had like severe anxiety, and something about planes, dude, wildly relaxing to me. I love it. I think it's because I'm just being asked to sit quietly. It's like, hey, can you just sit here for 2 hours and just mind your own business, and if you can do that, you'll be in LA. Like, done. I'm here. You're trapped on a plane with the current Rams team. Who on the plane do you trust the most to fly and listen to ground control to land the plane, given the pilot has passed out? Great question. This is really cool. I wish I knew more about certain players to be able to answer this question, but I would say I think I'd just go with, you know what? Give me LaFleur. Does it have to be a player? You said, who do you trust the most? No. So just the Rams team. I go LaFleur, man, because when you come in to be the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams, you know Sean McVay runs this offense. So you kind of know you got to just listen and do what you need to do. And so LaFleur going in there, I think he would go in there and be like he'd be like, what do I do? And ground control would be like, this, and this. And you'd be like, all right. But McVay, I think, would be a good choice. I think Stafford would be a great choice because the, you know, ground control would just be, you know, going into his ear and be like, just do this. And he'd just be like, they're still going. That's such a specific reference that I feel like only Rams fans get. And I love that. I love that for anybody who got that. It wasn't that funny or clever, but I appreciated it still. I'm going with that. That's my answer. So. And last one here coming from Payo Time. You have to select from one of the following Rams quarterbacks to throw you a 35-yard pass for $1 million. You get to decide who throws, but you have to catch it beyond 35 yards, and you are covered by practice squad DBs. Your options: Austin Davis, Kyle Bowler, Dresser Wynn, Bryce Perkins, and John Wolford, the Wolf Au. Hercules nicknames. Hell yeah. Just win. I don't know if I like that one, actually. We'll change that. We got to figure out something. That's a Raiders thing. Kyle Bowler, he doesn't deserve a nickname for that fumble at the goal line against the 49ers when all we needed to do was pound the rock and Steven Jackson get the ball in and Kyle Bowler fumbled it. I'm not mad about it, though, still. And then Austin Davis, number 9. The reply here, GP Shadow says the Wolf, which I aggressively disagree with. Can the Wolf throw 35 yards? I'm going Austin Davis on this one for sure. I'm not even thinking twice about this. Austin Davis, Kyle Bowler, Dresser Wynn, Bryce Perkins, John Wolford. Yeah, dude. All day. Give me a harder question next time. Austin Davis, man. If you remove Austin Davis, that's a hard question. But if Austin Davis is on this list, Austin Davis, yeah. He's got the fire, dude. He's got the fire in him. As far as I'm covered by practice squad DBs, I'm not catching this ball, dude. All right. Do you think this is shaking any DBs who've made it to the NFL level? I appreciate your confidence in me, man, but I'm going Austin Davis for sure. And Payo Time says that he would pick the Wolf, Au, or Austin Davis. I want to know your picks. Your picks. Who would you have throw you a 35-yard pass? You have to catch it for $1 million. In fact, if there is $1 million on the line there, man, I feel like, I mean, still Austin Davis, still definitely not changing my answer, because the other four quarterbacks on this list are just not very good. Austin Davis, call it what it is. He was not great, a little bit of a gunslinger, a little bit loose, kind of a Gardner Minshew, kind of a like a less talented Baker Mayfield kind of energy to him. But ultimately he is, I think, easily the most talented on this list. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're sitting there like, what are you talking about? But Kyle Bowler, man, he ruined my day that day. I'd have to look up even what year that was. I just remember so vividly that Steven Jackson takes a step forward, the ball's on the ground, and he just puts his arms up and walks back to the sideline. And it was like, Kyle, oh my God. Livid, dude. So furious. All right. That was in our stretch, though, of like, Bulger was always just on the bench, just being just treated for injuries. And then we just had a string of terrible backups. But Austin Davis was kind of my guy. I was ready to buy Austin Davis jerseys, all that stuff, dude. I was all in, but that is my pick. That is it for Fan Quesos. Thank you to all who dropped them. Of course, next week, drop yours if you want to. If you have a question you want to ask me, let me know. And again, on the live streams, I need to gauge the interest level in it. I've gotten no response on if that is something that that you want. If it is, hey, we can facilitate that. If it's not, I do love giving full attention into this bad boy specifically, but also I love just talking Rams. So if that's something that we are looking at, let me know, dude. Just let me know. I just need a couple people to be like, yes, I want this to happen, and then I'll just do it. Even if one very passionate person says that, you know what I mean? I just need to know that I'm not going to be on there just talking to nobody because there's not a market for it. I was talking with CG about doing a NFC West show. I didn't realize that NFC West show that I used to be on is still going. Had no idea. And then I was like, oh, there's no market for this then, because there is one, dude. Go watch that. Those are great dudes over there doing that NFC West show. So go check it out. It's awesome. Yeah. All right. That is going to do it for me. We got the Rams and the Cardinals this weekend, hopefully pushing it to a 500 record, needing to get back to 1-1 before home opener against the San Francisco 49ers in week 3. Survive until bye. Hashtag it. Put it on a t-shirt, whatever you got to do. But that's what we're doing right now with these injuries. All right. So ramshowcase.com. That's where you follow along. And at ramshowcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags on socials. Make sure you grab a copy of Monarch. It is an absolutely incredible book by one of my best friends. Eric is absolutely incredible. One of the better human beings I've ever encountered as well. And I've known him for a very long time. And I'm keeping him in my life for a very good reason. The dude is pure and awesome. His wife is amazing as well. And just the brain of that guy, unreal. The fact that I remember like watching like Road Trip when we weren't supposed to with this dude as kids and stuff. And then he's got a book and it blows my mind. So pick that up. Link will be in the description below. Support the homies. Always support the homies. And always support the homies. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fansided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for watching, and go Rams.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.